Would you turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15? Now, this is the famous Lord's Prayer, but have you noticed the prominence of the idea of forgiveness in it? The disciples asked Jesus how they should pray, and he said, this is how you should pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, that can also be translated trespasses or sins, as we forgive those who are indebted to us, who have sinned against us, and who have trespassed against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says, verse 14, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful place we get to live in called the Bitterroot Valley. Lord, we just thank you for your forgiveness in Jesus. It has changed our lives. And so in turn, help us to be radically forgiving in our own lives. I know, Lord, sometimes it's hard, but in you, everything is yes and amen. And so, Lord, as we think about this pillar of joy called forgiveness, we ask for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all of this only and always in the name of Jesus, saying, amen. So again, continuing on in our sermon series on the pillars of joy, right? Because who couldn't use a little more joy in their lives, right? And I think as we're beginning to discover, the really good news is that joyful living as a Christian person, doesn't have to be as elusive as sometimes we think of it is. Doesn't have to be like winning the lottery or something like that. Really what it's about is beginning to carefully cultivate Christian virtues, making them intentional part, bedrock of our lives. And we all know something about these pillars of joy in one way or another. They include humility, which we've talked about, and having a humble perspective in life. They include humor, we talked about that, as an important category, right? Jesus laughed, right? We all agree on that? Boy, some churches, I'm like, I don't know. Forgiveness, we'll talk about today. And then other things like gratitude, compassion, and generosity. These will bring joy into your lives. And so, again, over the next few weeks, we'll take a look at each one of these, or one of these each and every week. Then we'll kind of wrap them up with a helpful review. But at any rate, today we're talking about forgiveness as a pillar of joy. And when I think of forgiveness, I think forgiveness is Christianity 101, isn't it? Shouldn't it really be? I don't know why we don't talk more about forgiveness as Christians, as if it were secondary. But if you think about forgiveness as a pillar, the first two that we talked about will be actually really helpful in helping you becoming a more forgiving person. Or a forgiver in general, right? A humble perspective. People who are humble literally are people who are solidly grounded. As a Christian, you want to be solidly grounded. And remember the word humor actually in Latin, anybody remember? It actually has to do with fluids or moisture, right? Humorous people have sort of those flowing juices, as they were, right? Just like in this 95 degree weather, if you don't water your garden every day, pretty much, it's going to dry up, people. And if you don't have humor in your life, you're going to dry up and be a burden to other people. Do you want to be that? I mean, some Christians, it's like, if you think, you know, godliness is like stiffness or something, that has nothing to do with the gospel. That is Pharisaic religiosity. That's the opposite of the faith, but it's just bizarre to me. I said last week, I don't trust people who don't like humor. You don't have to be a comedian, right? But if you ever crack a joke and somebody's just so offended, it's like, I don't need you in my life. I got limited time. It's like, that's terrible. No, it's not. It's just honest, right? Have you noticed how in the Lord's Prayer, there is one conditional clause, one condition in the Lord's Prayer. It's regarding forgiveness. Jesus says, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, and our sins, as we, you catch that? As we forgive those who are indebted, have trespassed, or sinned against us. Could this be any clearer? This is huge. Jesus says in the two following verses, Bibles open, 14 and 15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, what? Your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people their sins, your heavenly Papa will not forgive you your sins. Could it be any clearer? Ouch, right? If I want God's forgiveness in our life, we must be radical forgivers. That's right on that sign by the door. Have you noticed it? Radically forgiving. Who doesn't need more forgiveness? You ever meet a narcissist? I don't need forgiveness. It's like, I'm trying to forgive you now for not needing forgiveness. You know where you end up in? You end up in Dr. Phil's office. How's that working out for you? I just want to punch him. Not well. You know, forgiveness is the foundation of your faith. Because people, not just here, but in our nation around the world, you ever notice how angry people are? They're just amped up, right? Anger is a part of the human condition. That's true. It can deeply affect your life and especially impact our families. And you know, sometimes I think the greatest hour of spiritual warfare is the hour before Sunday service in families, especially young families. We experienced this. We actually lived in the church and my kids were still late half the time. You know, why is there always a meltdown before Sunday service? Is this just me? Right? I have a collection of jokes. I've shared this one before. I called The Adventures of Johnny Jones. Kind of like the time when a Christian woman took her son Johnny to church, but like so many ladies, her husband refused to go. And of course, this made Johnny act out during Sunday service. And, you know, he enjoyed embarrassing mom in church, right? And in desperation, she cried out. She said, "Oh, Johnny, won't you be good?" And taking a cue from his reprobate old man, Johnny replied, "I'll be good in church for a dollar." Which his poor Christian mother responded in anger and said, "Johnny, why don't you be just like your daddy and be good for nothing?" Oh, confession, confession, right? You may remember, I was thinking about different past sermons this week. Remember the sermon I talked about, Yoda? I think you should memorize this. Well, that's not biblical. Yeah, actually really biblical. Actually, Star Wars stole this from the Bible, not vice versa. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering leads to Satan's kingdom, right? Follow the chain. Did you see this during the pandemic? It was dripping with it. Are people still dwelling in anger? You bet, for all kinds of reasons. You find an angry person, you just found a fearful person. I've said this before. Angry people, men or women, are not strong people. They got some stuff to deal with, right? It just looks scary. I get it. It's all a wash, really. But anger leads to hate, and hate will lead to suffering, and then you're just a hop, skip, and a jump from Satan's territory, really. My goal is not to stoke anger or any of that kind of stuff this morning, or fear, but just to point out it's so prevalent in our life and in our society. Why is anger a deadly sin for you as a Christian? Because anger is the unreasonable desire for vengeance, right? I mean, wasn't it played out in the video? I mean, Medea's like, "Oh, I want somebody to get me, I'm going to get them." Right? How many of us live our lives with that kind of thinking? It's Christless, but it's like, you know, it's just, she said, it's just common sense. You do this to me, I do that to you. Right? And if the getter's done gone and get me, I'm going to go get my Glock. That works in Montana, or maybe not. Right? This stuff, there's a chain to all this kind of stuff. We want to get back at people and things. How many guys have thrown a beer bottle through the TV set during the Super Bowl? I mean, seriously, really? Like you think that's going to control the outcome of this game, along with you wearing your favorite jersey? I know I'm stepping on toes here. This is sacred stuff, Jim. Is it? I'm not just your pastor, I'm your preacher. I'm paid to step on your toes. Right? There's a chain, said Yoda. We want to get back at people. You know, when people are really angry, they don't want to hear Jesus' golden rule. Right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. No, no, no. We like the businessman golden rule. Do unto others before they do unto you. That's how a lot of people really want to live. Angry people do not want to do things Jesus' way, because Jesus' way is the way of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And we've said it before. What's the antidote to the physical and spiritually deadly poison of anger? Of course, it's forgiveness, right? Wasn't that the very mission of Jesus himself? Wasn't it a mission of forgiveness and reconciliation? Isn't that the gospel? Right? Think about during his ministry, he taught the Lord's Prayer. Forgiveness is right in there. How many times did he say, son or daughter, your sins are forgiven? Abba, from the cross itself, Abba, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he commanded his disciples to preach the gospel throughout the world. For what reason? For the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is powerful because it will unwrap the chains of anger and bitterness. I mean, think of, you know, if you look at Jesus' disciples, none of them would ever make it on the list of a Fortune 500 company in this world, except maybe one. We know what happened to him. I mean, he could do accounting and he could read and write and betray his master. I mean, Peter, look at him as an unlikely, he's the chief apostle. Right? I mean, Jesus said, Peter, you will be the rock. It's like more like, no, he'll be the rock head. I mean, Mr. Anger Management Problem, do a character study in the Bible. He's always flying off the handle until after Jesus' resurrection. Right? He says in Matthew 18, Peter says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone when they sin against me? That's practical, right? Up to seven times? I mean, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? Seven times? Jesus told Peter, what? 70 times seven. Jesus was not asking us to do multiplication, people. Some of you are like, oh, good, right? That would be 490 times. That would be a lot, right? That seems reasonable, too. We've talked about this in other contexts. Jesus was using what was called Semitic hyperbole. He loved to do this. This is funny, actually. Right? This just proved Jesus laugh. It's an intentional exaggeration to make a point. Don't we all do that sometimes? Oh, is that a lie? No, it's an exaggeration to make a point. Semitic hyperbole. How many times do you forgive? As many as is necessary, Jesus is saying. Right? Remember Paul's famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? He says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Some of you need to burn that record or break the record, right? I'll forgive you this time. But, you know, let it go. Let it go. That's a pillar of joy, right? I probably don't have to say a lot more to convince you of the importance of forgiveness and that's really Jesus' way. But I also want to say this as a Christian. For a New York minute, do not ever believe that forgiveness is weak or lame. Some people have this idea, oh, forgiveness, that's for weak people, right? Really? Really? Forgiveness is one of the most powerful things on the face of this earth. You know why? Because forgiveness is an active engagement of evil. You are actively engaging evil. It's not even just that. It's also an attempt to actually undermine it. You know what undermining is? Somebody ever been undermined in your life? Right? It's when you dig under a city wall so the wall falls. You didn't even see it coming because they were underneath. You ever had any people in your life like that? Undermining your life? It always starts with gossip. We're Christians. We don't gossip. We just share. No. Slander is deadly. You'd be more merciful to shoot somebody dead physically than to slander them, right? Profoundly unchristian. Forgiveness gets underneath all that stuff and destroys it. It's like getting under somebody's skin. Paul says, let the Lord have his way. Be kind to people, you'll heap coals on their head. Have you ever tried that? When someone's treating you poorly and you treat them well, and sometimes it's just like they can't take it. It actually works. Try it sometime. Forgiveness is God's way. It is strong and courageous. Now, we've all experienced this, but I just want to list it for you. If you have been deeply hurt or wounded, and who hasn't at some point in this life by another person, here's what forgiveness never says. Let's just outline this. Forgiveness never ever says it wasn't a big deal. I guess it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal. It hurt you, right? Secondly, forgiveness never says it didn't really hurt. Oh, that's where the boys on the playground are tough, right? You know, bleed, hemorrhaging out. It doesn't hurt. I'm walking it off. Guys say that about the, you know, this is why women live longer, statistically. It's not that bad. I don't need to go to the doctor. Say that to a man with a kidney stone. It didn't really hurt. Yes, it did hurt. Or this, maybe this is even more insidious. Forgiveness never says, it doesn't really matter. How many times have you buried something that hurt you deeply? Or someone you love by saying, it doesn't really matter. And finally, forgiveness never ever says, somehow I deserved it. Oh, let's blame the victim already. We're pretty good at that one, aren't we? Forgiveness doesn't say any of those four things. Forgiveness says this, I pardon you. I release you. I forgive you in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. You can forgive someone and not trust them. Are we clear about that? There are people you trust is, it takes a long time to earn, and it can be gone just like that, right? Have you experienced that? I have forgiven people that I would not trust as far as I could throw them across Main Street. And I don't mind saying so. Do not, as a Christian, do not come to this thinking that forgiveness is the same as trust. There's a whole thing in the middle called reconciliation. People have to do their part. You can reconcile with some, forgive them and do your part, but unless they do their part, it's done. That's how it works, and you shouldn't feel bad about that as a Christian. You've done your due diligence. Does that make sense? This is very practical. If I had a sermon, a nickel for every sermon I've heard about, you know, forgive and forget, and, you know, when you forgive someone, you got to trust them in the Lord. No, you don't. Don't believe that lie from the devil. Don't. It's too serious. Instead, I put you in the hands of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And then you can sleep at night again. It's great. Wow. Forgiveness is strong and courageous enough to put itself in the middle of the violence, in the middle of the anger, and it says, stop. We're done here. There's something powerful about calmly saying, we're done. You don't have to lose your mind, right? Oh, they're making me mad. Yeah, okay, I get it. Just say stop. I've counseled people, you know, with you know, we've all sometimes need boundaries. It's like when this happens, leave. You can either stop now or I'm out of here. Try it out. It actually, sometimes they really lose their mind. Then you got them, really. You got them. And they'll either change or they won't eventually. You know, there's some great historical examples of this kind of stuff. I'm thinking of the life and convicting example of Mahatma Gandhi. You're like, really? Yeah, Gandhi. You know, as a young man, he left India for England to study law. He was a sharp dude, right? You're like, well, he's not exactly a sharp dresser. He was wearing traditional garb when he got back home. I think he got tired of English suits. I wonder why. You know, I used to wear a suit to church every week until I got to Montana. Started dressing down. They still complained. Gandhi was a voracious reader. One day in England, he picked up the New Testament because he wasn't a Christian. So he'd never seen this thing. And you know what he did? He read through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He was blown away by Jesus' words and forgiveness. True story. He actually said this. How convicting is this? He said, the Christians have all these great words of Jesus in their Bibles that Hindus don't have. But it's strange to me, he said, that Christians don't make actual use of Jesus' teaching on forgiveness. He actually said this. And so what he did was he started asking a number of British Christians about what Jesus meant about loving one's enemies and turning the other cheek. He sincerely wanted to know, how does this work? And yet they, you know what they did? They all blew him off and said, eh, whatever, yeah. They couldn't give him an answer, right? And this is what he did then. He said, he's a non-Christian, technically, who took Jesus' words so seriously that he said, you know what? Jesus was right, and I'm going to practice what Jesus said I should do. This guy was not born, you know, or raised as a Christian, but he's like, I got to do what Jesus said. When was the last time you heard an unbeliever say that? Convicting, I think. Right? And you know what he did? He taught his fellow non-Christian Indians to do what the British Christians weren't doing. He taught them to literally practice Jesus' words on nonviolence and forgiveness. I find this amazing. He taught them to allow their enemies to expel their anger on them and not react, not answer in kind. And you know what? Multiplied by millions of Indian people, it eventually caused the British to grant independence to India after World War II. This literally happened because a guy took Jesus's words like literally and seriously. You know, thought about other examples. I was just thinking about different sermons in the past. A different sermon sometime back, I preached on sin and the problem of racism. I was thinking about a young African-American Baptist preacher in the 60s, you know him, right? Who read Gandhi and read the Sermon on the Mount very seriously, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He knew these things well. And he realized that Jesus's principle of nonviolence and forgiveness was not some nice spiritual principle. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, teach the children to forgive each other, right? So they don't fight on the playground. That's not what we're talking about. It's incredibly powerful. It actually worked. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., yes, he was one of the greatest civil rights activists, but what people forget about in our society is, what was he first and foremost? He's a Baptist Christian preacher. Where did this stuff come from? From the Bible. So what did he do? He organized sit-down strikes where they were spit on, experienced anger and violence, along with many arrests, and you know what they did in return? They forgave their persecutors. Forgiveness is not wimpy, people. It's actually very, very strong. It allows anger to spend itself, and then it just stays there, remaining firm and strong, right? You know, you can only, you know, anger takes a lot of energy. Have you noticed this? Especially when people are really losing it, you know? And if you can just not be overwhelmed by it and just kind of stand there quietly, pretty soon they run out of energy. And you can be really kind about it. Are you okay? You can kind of twist it a little bit. Are we done now? Are we done? Do a little Dr. Phil there. How's that working for you? Well, watch him get a second wind there. Gandhi, King, and of course, the one who inspired them both, Lord Jesus Christ, remind us that the deadly sin of anger is always defeated through the powerful practice of radical forgiveness. Okay, so how can we kind of make this a little more practical for our lives? I love what early church pastor and author St. Augustine did. It was said that he made a sign and displayed it above his dinner table because he would have people over for dinner. It was for everyone to see. The sign said this: let no one at this table speak ill of his brother. And guess what? He actually meant it. If somebody started to gossip or share at his table, he would say, stop it. And if they trash talked, he'd kick them out of their house. You're done here. I'll invite you again, and maybe you'll get it by then. We just don't trash talk people. That is a mosaic value, by the way. We don't put up with gossip and slander around here. It's just deadly, right? It destroys churches, right? So that would be a cool thing. What if you put that up at your dinner table? That might change the conversation a little bit, huh? You're going to talk trash. You got to leave the table. You can't finish your dinner. Wow. Let me give you three practical pieces. Maybe one of these you can take home and maybe it'll change something in your life or family. First one is this. Take a concrete step to heal a broken relationship. Ooh. Most of our greatest sorrows have to do with broken relationships, right? You think about it, it really is. I don't know, do you need to make a phone call? Write a letter. Sometimes to get stuff out, it's good to write stuff down. And that might be a good practice for you. I mean, it's like the old Moody Blues song, right? Letters I've written never meaning to, you don't have to send it if it's not helpful. But if it is helpful, do it. A text, a call, you're like, you don't know what he did to me, Jim. It's like, you're right, I don't. Well, he should start. How about the one who's the most mature Christian in the relationship start? How about that one, right? Oh, if some of you could just begin to lean into a relationship or two, God will bless it. Just stick with it. It may take time, especially if you've been the one messing it up. This often is true with children and parents, right? See that all the time. But you can lean in and keep, don't keep pressing, you know, hey, just reaching out to you. Hey, I want you to know I'm thinking about you. Love you. Click. Next time, hey, just thinking about you. How's it going? Oh, cool. Well, I did something fun too today. Okay, goodbye. Click. Just keep building. Be intentional. Number two, when you're offended, forgive quickly. Some of you need to memorize Ephesians 4:26. I hear all kinds of dumb well-meaning teaching by Christians. You know, well, anger is sinful. Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. He knows you're going to get mad sometimes. And there is a difference between righteous and selfish anger. We've talked about that before. In your anger, don't sin. And then he says this. Here's a good principle. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed angry. Try and work it out, or if you can at that moment, pray about it. Pray God's peace in your life and pray for that person. Don't go to bed all amped up. It'd be hard to sleep anyway, right? I mean, we've said this before, how many of you woke up at 3 a.m., you know, in this 90-degree weather, looking at the ceiling fan, I hate that guy, I hate that guy, I hate that guy. You know, don't lie. You can be free of that. You can be free of that in Jesus. Number three, say only good things that people need to hear. I mean, it sounds like something mom or grandma would teach us, you know? Say only good things that people need to hear. You know, I like Mark Twain in this too. He said, don't lie. Guess what happens if you don't lie? You never have to remember anything. And I tell you what, that's starting to serve me pretty well because I'm starting to forget. Do you remember that time? Mm-mm. Now, guys, be careful when your wife says, do you remember? Be very careful how you proceed. It was a Thursday afternoon, partly cloudy. Be careful, gentlemen. You know what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? These three things could be helpful to you. Maybe just pick one in your growth and forgiveness. Oh, but we all have to get back at people, don't we? And you'll have fits and starts. You'll be doing good. Then all of a sudden, you know, they'll make a start again in Jesus, kind of unlike the time when an elderly couple had a little talk one evening, and the man had an anger management problem. I'll never forget this. I think my oldest son, Zach, was 4, and my dad used to sometimes fly off the handle old school. I think my dad had planted grass. Remember back in the day when you couldn't play on the grass? Get off my grass, you kids. Remember that? I think my kid walked on his grass. Get off the grass, Zach. And you know, I don't know where he came up with this from, but he looked at my dad and he said, Grandpa, you have an anger management problem. He's 4 years old. I thought the vessels in my dad's eye were gonna burst. I just took him off. I said, come on, let's go. Old man said, honey, I'm sorry. I let my anger out on you so often. How do you ever manage to stay so calm with my foul moods? Fair question, to which his wife calmly replied, well, I always go and clean the toilet when that happens. To which the incredulous husband replied, that actually helps? She's gently smiling. His gentle wife responded, why, yes, dear, it helps because I always use your toothbrush. Do not walk away with just that one thing. I'm going to use the toothbrush, Pastor said. Forgiveness is not allowing another person's wrongdoing. it's not saying that it's okay. We've been through that, right? Forgiveness is the only way to heal ourselves and free us from our past. Amen. Some of you, don't you want to be free? I mean, you've had some horrible things done to you, but you can be free, right? Forgiveness actually helps us take back control of our lives. I've seen this work in people's lives over the years. It's amazing. As Gandhi famously said, you may have heard this quote, "An eye for an eye will leave the whole world blind." Right? Forgiveness also doesn't mean that we forget.
Well, forgive and forget.
It doesn't mean that. Instead, it helps us to cultivate another pillar of joy called compassion. We'll get to that one, compassion. Here's a great irony, is that when you are actually concerned about other people, who you realize, you know, angry people are suffering and in pain, right? People naturally don't want to just be amped up all the time. You might like, oh, you don't know my Uncle Joe. Well, okay. I bet there's something going on. When you realize other people are in pain and suffering, you will develop compassion, and that will, you know, then there I call it the bacteria of anger and hatred. It won't be able to grow in your heart. I call it spiritual pasteurization. You know, like you do with milk, so it doesn't go bad and all that kind of stuff. You know, pasteurization saved millions of lives, continues to do so. Don't you want that in your own life? It's your birthright as a child of God. So remember, Jesus said, if someone sins against you, forgive them 70 times 7. Why? Because Jesus taught us to pray, Abba, Father, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who have trespassed against, who are indebted to, and have sinned against us. Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen? Third pillar of joy, forgiveness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this reminder that forgiveness is such an important pillar of joy, and that holding on to stuff will only make us sick. Lord, we know that's true, but help us to be radical forgivers. Help us to appreciate all your forgiveness in our lives so that we can do that for others as well. And so, Lord, if anyone is struggling with a broken relationship, if anyone's heart is sick from hurt, I pray today would be the day of release for them, Lord, through forgiveness. Lord, we encourage us, lead us, guide us in this, that we may be radical forgivers, and we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.